Well, I guess we don't have music tonight, folks. So welcome to the weekly podcast for Diva of Days of Our Lives, where we talk about all things Days of Our Lives and other stuff as it randomly comes to our minds. Sorry about the music. You'll just have to pretend. It looks like it's playing, but I don't hear it. Yeah. Oh, maybe not. This is Anna. We have Mary Ann.
Hello.
And Carrie.
Hello.
Hello. And Madeline, unfortunately, had a death in the family, so she won't be joining us tonight, but we wish her all the best and wish her family well, and we're thinking about them and everything, and sorry that they had such a loss, and so I just want to make that announcement, and let's see. Before we get started, Carrie, did you want to talk about your interview with Beverly Todd this week that you had?
Yes. That was kind of surprising. I wasn't expecting an interview during their dark week. But he interviewed Beverly on Thursday, and I think everybody's going to like her. And I'm encouraging everybody to be open-minded when she her portrayal of Celeste, which I believe is the second week of April. She's a lot of fun. She's very spicy. I asked her at the very end, would Celeste be dating anybody? And she's like, you know, and it's like, I can't remember exactly what she said, but something like, let all this gorgeous go to waste. So she sounds like a hoochie to me.
Oh, there you go.
More hoochie. Ooh.
Yeah. Celeste and Tony used to always flirt. Maybe there's an angle.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so, and Celeste is on with the sun that's coming on, Dr. Cameron Davis. I guess asking, you know, what brings Celeste to town, and she brings the sun in the town, too, and that she never told Lexi about. But from what she's saying, yeah, from what she's saying, it sounds like Celeste basically is doing a lot of meddling. And she whips out the tarot cards, and there's always something bad, you know. Seeing she's always seen bad going on, and I did ask her if she had anything to get with Joe Mascolo. This Stefano is Lexi's father, and I think she hasn't yet because she actually mispronounced Stefano's name pretty bad.
Oh, okay.
Yes, she did.
She said it was in the works, though. So. Yeah, so it looks like it's going to be in a script that she hasn't yet filmed. So, she was really delightful, and I recommend everybody read her IMDb page. She's done stage work and movies, and she's pretty active in acting. She's done guest stints recently. She was on the episode of Grey's Anatomy. So she has a pretty impressive resume, plus she starred in a soap about 40 years ago. So she does have soap work. And she also does a lot of charity work. She started a preschool for African-American children only in New York City. Unfortunately, her son passed away at the age of 18. He was killed outside of a club. I know, can you imagine? Oh my gosh. So she has a charity trying to teach teach the youth to handle things more peacefully. And she also has a group, I think it's called Sunshine. There's another group that for African-Americans to get together in the arts. And it's kind of like a networking type group. And she... is involved in that. So she's a very active person, and she's always trying to inspire and encourage and help out the African-American community. And she told me the story that she was in, I guess it's kind of like a detention center for youth that have committed crimes, and she'd have them read poetry and write poetry, and she said they'd all say, we're not coming back here. And she said, promise they'd always go back home, go back to their friends that are no good and get in trouble again, reoffend, and end up being incarcerated again. So she's a really fascinating person all the way around. And like I said, she's very saucy. She's very spicy. So I wouldn't be surprised if Celeste is a little sexier this time around. I mean, she always was sexy, but, you know, she never really had a love interest. But so I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the line Celeste has a love interest. And asked her about her contract, and she said it's open-ended. So she's recurring, but so far she's still filming. So that's a good thing. So we'll be seeing Celeste for a while.
Yep.
Well, good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, that's all here. It's only a 13-minute interview.
I listened to the interview, and I kind of agree with you. She sounded interesting, and, yeah. And I, you know, give her, I think she's going to be good in the part. Yeah. She's going to kind of make put her own characterization
on it.
It's
got to be hard jumping in like that at the last minute and everything.
Yeah, but she got her job on Friday, and she filmed on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know, and she said...
The soaps are a lot different than they were back when she did one, you know?
Yeah, and she said with movies, she said with movies, she had 3 or 4 months to learn your lines, you know, not just a weekend. And she said she looked at YouTube, and they gave her clips to watch, too, and so it wasn't enough time, really, to do the accent. So
She said she's going to not even really concentrate too much on the accent and just kind of, like, make it her own, I guess.
Right.
You know, but not worry about, like, imitate, which you don't want her to anyway. You know, don't want her to imitate Tawny Boyd. You know, she want to be a little bit creative of her own.
But she did pick up on that. I didn't even think of this, but Celeste is very proper and does use it. You know, she's not a slang person by any stretch of the imagination. She was always very proper and spoke eloquently. And she said she's bringing that into Celeste. It's just not the darlings and the accent. I'd recommend it, but she's pretty cool. I want everybody to stay open-minded. But some people, I mean, we were all upset that Celeste was recast a bit. But when you listen to her and you see what she's done with her life, you want to cheer for her.
She's someone you root for. It sounds like she's rootable as a person, even if it's hard for the fans to accept somebody new in that role and everything. It's not like, I hope people aren't mean to her or anything just because she stepped into a role that, you know, that was not hers originally in that way. But it sounds like she's really taken a horrible tragedy in her life and done as much positive as she can with it.
Right. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, cool. Well, cool. So so everybody listen to that podcast. And I guess we should pimp at Bob Hapka. Go ahead and follow him on Twitter. We highly recommend Bob if you want to be both entertained and offended, or offended and entertained, depending on, you know, whether he offends you first or entertains you first. So follow at Bob Hapka, at Amy Hapka. They're fun people. So,
they're on Twitter right now, actually, and Mark is on Twitter. Yeah, they're tweeting right now.
Well, yeah, follow.
So all three of them could call in.
At Mark Hapka as well. He, of course, played Nathan Horton on Days of Our Lives. So we love the Hapka family. They're cool. So lots happened this week, kids.
lots. Excitement.
Who would like to start? Because you know who I can talk about, but I'll let you guys decide.
Oh, yeah, well, who else? Well, I like the hot guy kiss. What did you think of that?
Oh, yeah, there you go. There you
That's the hottest kiss that Dace has had in a long time.
Oh, I love that line.
Really?
That's great,
Miriam. Yeah, exactly. I mean, whoa, when he grabbed him, I'm there, whoa, well, Will, go. Let it out, boy.
We've been waiting for this moment longer than you have, Will.
I know, really, finally, Will.
His scenes with Marlena were really good this week.
The whole with Marlena and Sammy and the little digs he was getting in at Sammy were just priceless. The one that stands out in my mind is when she was telling Marlena, "Oh, I was in such pain," And he said, yeah, I heard you screaming, and pain wasn't involved.
Oh, my gosh.
And it wasn't from pain. That's how he said it. He said, yeah, I heard you screaming, and pain wasn't, you know, and it wasn't from pain. And he said, like, very, I just caught that. I had to rewind it and listen.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one. I'm glad you said that.
He doesn't. He said it kind of like he was behind Marlena, and he was kind of saying it, like, lower, like, under his breath. But I caught it, and because every time he would say something, Marlena would say, Will, be quiet. Be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He kept telling, be quiet. I thought that was funny. He had all kinds of little digs at Sammy. But the three of them were great together, I thought. Did you guys?
Oh yeah, I mean, really, the writing, everything was so dead on and so true to character and history, and you know, it was really layered.
Yeah, and each one brought out good points. Sammy does have a legitimate complaint, you know, on what her mother did, and like always paid attention to John. But then again, Marlena is also right. Sammy, it's time to grow up. You know, you have to start taking. At one point, yeah, you can blame your parents for some, but then you've got to step up and be the adult and, you know, take responsibility. So they both kind of, you see both of their points. You know, they've kind of brought all that out. So I thought it was really good. I just don't see what, like, and Will doesn't, has always defended Marlena, but, you know, Marlena's just as bad as, you think he'd be a little bit more understanding of Sammy or a little bit more critical of Marlena.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like just so hell bent on like on Sammy being wrong. But I enjoyed all those scenes.
Well, I think it's also true. Like when you hear about something that someone has done, it's one thing. When somebody has truly affected and created the course for your young life, which is, you know, he knows what Marlena has done. He knows it was wrong. He knows it damaged his mom. And right there, there could be some anger, some righteous anger there. Mm-hmm. But he's actually lived Sammy. You know, he's lived with his mother being like that, and so I guess that's where the anger and all that, you know. And then plus, you know, seeing how, you know, she's basically wrecked the family that he finally had with the kids and everything, and Rafe, which that's a whole other subject. But anyway, that, you know, she's really destroyed what he had, you know, what his brother and sisters would have. And he wanted them to have a normal life, and look what they're going to have. They're going to have the same thing he had. The generational stuff was just great. It was really, really good. And, in fact, I kind of want to go back and watch those again, and that's rare.
And, like, Sammy right away thought it was Marlena that went and told.
Oh, yeah.
Because she came hanging out the door, like, yeah, blaming Rose.
Right.
You know, right away, she assumed it was Marlena.
So basically, she knows. She finds out this week, and Sammy finds out that Marlena knows as well as Will. Well, she knew Will, though, but she finds out that Marlena knows, and then Will's talking to Sonny at the pub, and he's like, you swear you won't tell anybody. I got to tell, you know, whatever. Of course, he says what he's been holding inside all this time, and Sonny's thinking it's that he's gay, whereas it's really about his mother, and so at least this aspect of it is. And so he tells Sonny what happened, that's, you know, that Sammy and EJ had sex when the whole town was looking for Johnny, his mother was over at EJ's having sex. And Rafe overhears
just
this.
Just happens to come into the bar.
Just happens
the
to be
exact
there.
Moment. You notice how everybody's overhearing everything now?
I know.
Wait.
I know.
They don't talk to themselves
to
now. They're
anymore.
Just they overhear everything. Would you rather have Will tell everybody in front of everybody? That would have been, you know, instead of everybody's overhearing, have him really just confront. But
they used to do it on soaps. They used to make the big dramatic announcements. Breaking up Lumi's weddings numerous times with announcements. I mean, you know, I miss that too.
Yeah, they don't kind of do it. They kind of did it with the Parker reveal, I guess.
Yeah, that was the last time we had a big one.
So
he goes straight over to Sammy's, which was who? He goes over there, and then what? Take it from there.
I don't know. What do you think? Great emotional acting? Wasn't that just wonderful?
I mean,
you know,
with a
the
bit
lack
of...
The The lack of range in that character is unbelievable. But anyway.
You know, I thought he was going to do, there was a little bit more emotion there than there normally is, but it still wasn't what it should have been. Nothing where, like how Allison Sweeney gets, or, you know, just just wasn't there.
It was a massive disappointment. Massive.
Yeah. I thought he
would
like...
Time, first time a couple years, Sammy really screwed over Rafe, really did.
Mm-hmm.
And he acts like, you know, she forgot to take the garbage out or something. I mean, the acting was terrible. And then he brought her down, but she was underacting because he was underacting. And then mm-hmm. it didn't get that much better at the Demira Mansion because I felt like Ariane and, I thought mm-hmm. Ariane and James were underacting. Because Galen and Allison were underacting, and it was a big.
So he goes over, he rushes over to the mansion.
He brought all three of them down, I thought.
Yes, he did. He did.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they were rehearsing. It looked like it wasn't the real thing.
Reading the lines as
and they were rehearsing. As
someone had, Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I missed the first part of when he went over there initially. So what happened? I didn't. I figured out what happened generally, but what when he got there, Sammy shows up too. And then
he punched EJ. He's beating on EJ, and EJ didn't fight back. I said, EJ, what are you doing? He's still there and talking.
Like,
get him back. Somebody needs to hit that man. Like somebody needs to like punch him.
I think he likes.
I don't know.
I think EJ likes getting hit.
I think so. Or did EJ must have thought he deserved it or something? He just, and then it was the second time he came after him and was almost like choking him, and like EJ wasn't even pushing him away. He was just like taking it from there. I don't know. I forget what happened. Do you remember, Carrie? He confronted EJ.
Yeah, and then Ray spilled the beans in front of Nicole. So Nicole basically, I mean, EJ and Sammy are trying to say, "Oh, it was nothing. It didn't mean anything." And blah blah blah. And we were in grief. And EJ said it was an out-of-body experience. And Nicole just
it looked like an inner body. It looked like an inner body experience.
I was waiting for someone to make a comment, like a snide comment, when he said out-of-body experience, something about the, with the bodies or something. But nobody did.
Ari did a great job. She did a great job with her scene.
Out of the four, I thought she was the best. But it still wasn't. It wasn't what it should have been. It didn't look up to what's
going. Basically blew the lid off the secret, and now Nicole, she took off. She doesn't want to.
She threw the
ring
back at him.
They just professed their renewed love to each other right as they were celebrating their anniversary, and then this happened. So then at the end, she's at the Horton Town Square, and somebody walks up to her. Is it Lucas or is it Daniel?
It's Daniel.
You just see the hand.
It's probably Daniel.
It's Daniel.
I thought it was Daniel.
She's like, what are you doing here?
Spoilers say it's
like
Daniel.
So great. So he gets to be there for her. So we'll see. And I have to say, I mean, I think Allison Sweeney's...
She should go back to Brady.
Run
to Brady.
She's in great shape. But that outfit they had on her with that necklace was atrocious. I'm sorry. I just couldn't stand it all week long.
Sammy.
Sammy.
Oh,
it looked like she was going to have a wardrobe malfunction the entire week.
Yes. Why was she in that dress? Was she going to work in that dress, or was she going out? That was an evening dress. That was an evening outfit. Like, you would go out.
Not to work
or not around the house.
Listen, if she showed up at work like that, Kate would have sent her home. No, honey, we don't let that kind of ugliness go on in our
store. She wasn't planning a night out on the town with Rafe or anything. It was like, why are you wearing that dress?
I don't know. It was a very poor wardrobe choice for her that day. But anyway, so we got that. And then, like, you mentioned the Will, the hot kiss. Basically, Sunny invites Will to go hang out with some friends at the Horntown Square, the HTS, as I like to sexually refer to it. And everybody goes, what's that? Anyway, so the HTS. And they're drinking and everything. And then the guy that he's drinking with, what was his name?
Yeah, Will Wondrack. Neil, I don't even know what his name was. I don't think Will remembers what his name was.
Neil. Will and Neil. And then, so what? He goes off by himself for a second. He's all drunk. And then Neil seems to enjoy what he had seen. So he went after him.
He went out to find him.
Yeah.
Well,
and then,
no, Will did. Yeah.
And the kids.
And Sonny saw them.
Will freaked out and
went to his grandma.
He went to his grandma. Those scenes
went to
were
grandma.
Really good too. Those
the emotion he shows. It's so true. I mean, he's just like really.
He's
I think they're handling this gay storyline very well. You know, the struggle,
very well.
His inner struggle,
yes.
of bringing it out, and how he feels like he's still trying to figure it out, and and his emotions. He does those very well, I think.
Yeah, he's really good. I mean, he needs to get an Emmy for his work.
He needs to
really
get an Emmy. Not only a nomination. I mean, you think he needs to win the Emmy, but I don't know what kind of competition he's going to have, but
The writing has really been good for that story, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. For that storyline, I have to give it. The writing is good. I think the writing's good with the whole Sammy EJ thing, and, the only thing that's bad is, like we've been saying, is the, John and Hope thing.
Yeah.
That's the worst. I hate that. Which they need to end that storyline, but I don't think it's going to end anytime soon.
I have to bring up with Will and Marlena before we jump to John and Hope. It cracked me up, and Will's like, I guess the guy, and Marlena doesn't even flinch. And he's like, you're not surprised. And she's like, well, I know you've been working on something or something like that for a while now. And at the end, he's like, do you think I'm gay? I'm like, gee, what do you think she thinks? You kissed a guy.
Aww.
I mean, it kind of cracked me up because I thought she was hinting at that. I'm just like, I know you've been dealing with something for a while now. I thought she was pretty much hinting.
It was so deep for him that he really had not consciously realized that's what he was struggling with. The thing with his mom sort of overtook everything, and so some of the anger he's channeling towards Sammy, even though it's justifiable,
is
also
himself.
That inner turmoil. And, I mean, that's, again, good writing for that. I have to say, for Days of Our Lives, I mean, they're doing a good job on it, and they've got a capable actor. And I have to say, I'm not a Darlena fan, and I'm really not feeling the love between those two at all, really. But I have to say, I'm enjoying seeing Marlena as a counselor, therapist, kind of back in her role, even though it's always been in her living room or at the Brady Pub. I'm enjoying seeing her acting in that role of the therapist like she used to, and especially with her grandson and everything. I've enjoyed that part of Marlena more than anything. And, her scenes with Sammy when they're at each other. So, let's see. So we've established that Race still doesn't have a range of emotions. Even when the worst possible things could happen, he still does not have a range of emotions. We already knew that, but we've established it once again. Or reestablished it. Let's see. Okay, so Will's gay. Let's see. What do you think? Talking about Sonny seeing them, did he seem a little, jealous? I mean, I wonder if Sonny has feelings for Will.
That's what I thought, maybe.
Because I like it that they've not played that up that, if you're a gay guy, then you're going to be hot for every other guy who's gay or not, I mean, I like that they've been friends and everything and that they've been buddies, but he kind of, the way Sonny looked when he saw them kissing, I just wondered if maybe Sonny's going to realize, oh, wait a minute, I have feelings for him or something. I don't know. Okay, so then do we even want to talk about Carrie and Rafe? Do we care?
No. They just belong together.
Rafe,
just put them together and be
Rafe,
done with
yeah,
it. And tell
Rafe
them to leave
town. He keeps packing his boxes and unpacking the boxes, and they keep talking about sharing space and not sharing space and how it would look. And honestly, I like Rafe better with Carrie than I do with Sammy, so if they're going to go that way, I'm fine with it. But I just, whatever. And then it's going to be interesting when Sammy finds out that Marlena didn't think that it was that big of a deal that Carrie kissed Rafe. Remember how she said something to her? Like, But she was talking to her one day, Carrie, one day, and it was like kind of like she wasn't really wrong or something. And I was like, okay. So we've got that. And then, of course, my favorite part of the week was the Ian and Kate scenes. Let's see. So Ian's coming to town. We now know that he's CEO of Titan. We now know that he's married to Madison. And let's see, I think it was on Monday's episode that, Kate wanted to go to the office to, she's been stressed out, really, Ian's been in the back of her mind and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went, she told Stefano she was going to go to the office and she'd be back. And so she's in the HTS and runs into Ian, of course. And he, you know, reads her like a book. You know, you're not really going to the office to work. You're going to forget it to try to get your mind off of me. You know, she's like, well, it's okay. I think you think enough of yourself for both of us. And so, you know, they have the back and forth, and she's resisting, and they kiss, and then they kiss again. And I think they kissed
she pushed him
again.
Away. But she came
yes,
back for more.
Away, slapped him. I think she slapped him at one point, didn't she? Maybe? I'm not sure. But anyway. So it was feisty, it was put that way. And essentially, so far we've established that they had been in love, they knew each other, they had a significant relationship, it was meaningful to both of them. I believe it ended abruptly, but we don't know the backstory on that
yet. It was
yet.
While he was married to Madison, too. See, I thought it was before that, but it was actually when he was married to Madison.
Right, and what Beth revealed later, where I think it was on Wednesday's episode maybe, that he, I guess Madison is helping Quinn go international with his stupid spas. So, which I think is just a mechanism to get Brent off the show, personally.
That was I was just a way to get him off. Now he's going to go.
He's
going
to be going back to
Europe.
Paris or whatever.
Paris,
So, so Madison is plotting. She's taking the business away from Kate because Quinn and Kate had an agreement for Countess Wilhelmina's products to be in the spa. So she offered him a deal to go international and franchise, and so he jumped at that. So while they're talking about that, Kate walks in, and then she's informed that Madison's pulled this business out from under her. And then while they're sparring, and the ageist remarks are flowing from Madison's mouth. Anyway, Ian walks in, and of course Kate notices right away, and Madison notices right away. Ian walks in, and then he pretty much goes over, and I think he might have kissed Madison on the cheek or something, and says something like, basically says it's his, or I guess when he walks in, Kate's like, Ian, what are you doing here? And he walks over, and he like kind of hugs Madison, kisses her on the cheek, and he's like, oh, I'm just coming to see my wife or whatever. And so that's the moment that Kate finds out that Ian is married to Madison. And so then they start sparring, Madison and Kate, and Madison's spewing this, you know, ageist cracks at her. And so Kate came back with a few good lines, like something like, men like me, they always have, you know, or something like that. And something like, you couldn't even keep Brady and Ian happy or whatever. So, yeah, so, I mean, she kind of went at her. So they were fighting, and Ian just sat back and was rather amused. He seemed like he enjoyed it.
Yes, he was very
amused
with this himself,
yes,
in the situation.
Yes. And then when Kate left, I really thought Ian looked like he wanted to follow her. I thought he kind of wanted to go after her. So we'll see. So we know that there's a lot of passion with that relationship with Kate and Ian, and we know there's some sexual tension and chemistry there. And so I think we got to get more into Ian a little bit and see what he's about. I think he's going to start showing a lot of different sides to himself. He's kind of come in and he's been kind of mean and everything, but I think eventually Kate's going to be the place where he shows his softer side is what I'm guessing, but I could be wrong. And then he also went over to Maggie and Victor's and I can't remember what he did when they were over there, but there was a line where
he was charming Maggie. Anyway.
Yeah, he was charming Maggie. And,
with the cookies,
and
she brought
us cookies.
Cookies,
and Victor's like, don't eat those, Maggie. He probably poisoned them. And Maggie's like, what are you talking about?
No,
yeah.
She wanted her, he threw them out, though, then. That's funny.
Ian, they were talking about, I don't know, business. And then Ian Brady was there too, and they said something like, I wish I had the lines exactly, but it was something like, well, now that I'm here because of the woman I love lives here, or something like that. And essentially, he's saying that to stick it to Brady because Brady thinks he's talking about Madison, but actually he's talking about Kate. So that was kind of interesting.
Right. Yes. I know. What you mean. I remember that.
That was fun because it's like, oh, good. He used that line to both tell the truth because the woman he loves is in Salem. And so he told us that that's what he meant, but Brady thought it was Madison. And so, so he's turning out to be quite an interesting character. People have a range of reactions to him, but I think he's quite layered, and I think it'll be interesting as the story unfolds. And I must say, when he slashed Kate, of course, you know, I watched the scenes many times over, of course, but at one point he slashed her this smile that was not his being mean, skeevy, sneaky smile, but like the oh my gosh, I can't get enough of you. He said something like, when they were kissing, he said something like, I always could push your buttons, and you always could make me laugh. And then, but the way he smiled at her, I was like, okay, you need to do that more often because I might have to see him a little bit. So yeah, so there's some fun things like that going on. So Kate has an interesting story, which is cool. And then I guess Stefano, Stefano took off for
Alamania.
Alamania, that's right.
How many times do you have to, like, you laugh out loud when you hear Alamania?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how
the actors,
they do it.
I don't know
how
they do it. I don't know how they do it. Because every time they say it, I just have to, like, really? And then I chuckle to myself, Alamania?
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm sure they're all like, really? And, Marianne, speaking of Alamania, didn't already talk about that, did we? About Hope and John at the airport.
Oh my God!
How laughable that was. They all go to the airport at the beginning of the week, and they're all going to go to Alamania, you know. And then they turns out Bo and Marlena can't go because, of course,
Stephanie
rigged it. So then John and Hope are stuck having to go there by themselves. Amazing. So you were telling me earlier
So
you could describe those scenes better than you were saying earlier.
I don't know, they were fine. They were waiting for hours and hours, and finally it was time to go, and they're picking up their luggage or whatever. She bent up to pick up her luggage, and it kind of got tangled in her foot, and she fell back, and John, fell back into John's arms, and they kind of looked at each other. I mean, really? I mean, how forced was that? That was just stupid.
It was forced, but seriously, I've done that 10 million times. But never onto a guy. Never onto a guy.
Yeah.
But I've
never
done
onto
that
before. Well, okay, yeah.
Same thing when they keep running into people. Like Abby would always run into Austin. And, always running into Daniel, and it's just so contrived.
Yeah. It's just like,
but it was really contrived
of,
with Hope and John.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of Abby and Austin, Abby's getting a little. Is she going to go a little? Well, I think Carrie has a. You have a good idea of where that storyline.
Carrie, yeah. Carrie, go for it.
Oh, my blog entry I did this week.
Yeah, because Abby's getting a little psycho there. I think she's plotting.
It's just a theory because there's been so many baby plots the past few years, and my theory was that Abby was going to fake a pregnancy, kidnap the Jolie baby, and claim that it's her and Austin's. And so you have EJ, again, not raising his child, that's his. And possibly Nicole and EJ thinking the baby died. So EJ was thinking he lost another child to death. Then Austin be raising a child that's not his, which he thought was his, but should that be the second time that's happened to him, because that happened to him with Will. And what were the other things? I couldn't remember. But it was like a huge, I mean,
oh,
it was
awesome.
Just a theory. But it was a huge umbrella type of storyline. It involved
right.
Multiple people. And you know, I'm not saying I wanted it to happen. So a lot of people are like, I don't want this to happen. It's like, well, I didn't say
no,
I
did.
It's
just like, yeah. Not another switch. It's like, how original. But, you know, yeah, I could see them going there, though, and doing that all over again. You know, because
yeah.
Abby, I could see her, I don't know, I could see her, though, pretending that she's pregnant to get Austin,
yeah.
whether she would switch the babies. But I could see her going there, though. That's going to
mm-hmm.
happen. And now we need mm-hmm. to guess the reveal to Carrie. You know,
mm-hmm.
that Austin supposedly cheated on her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, so.
I guess she'll be finding that out.
Yeah, Nicole finds out on Monday she's pregnant. And
oh,
then,
already.
Yeah, and next week Abby and Melanie stalk Carrie and Austin. And actually pretty quickly, Abby's going to confess to Carrie. So, a lot of that stuff's going to hit the fan.
Who's going to confess to what?
Eventually, Abby's going to tell Carrie that they, her and Austin slept together.
Yeah. Mm. Was it this last week that they had or was it the week before? Sometimes I lose track. When they had Carrie giving advice to Abby and Patrick, I always want to say Patrick, Austin standing there like, oh, I'm having a drink or something. Was that this week or was that last week? I can't remember. But,
Week. It was last week, yeah.
Last week, yeah.
It was pretty funny. That whole dynamic's kind of funny, the way
yeah.
they got that set up, too.
I don't know. Amy Hapka on Twitter has a question. She said a question for the show. It says,
yeah,
do you...
and I told her to call.
Oh, did you?
I told her to call. If she has a question, she can call.
Okay, so we're going to make her call? Okay, you saw it, too? All right. I won't say it again.
Yeah.
Tell her to call. Tell her if she wants an answer, she has to call. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
It's a good question.
What's her question?
She has
to
call.
Yeah.
Go on Twitter, you'll see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If she doesn't call, we'll mention at the end that she does have a funny question. But, yeah.
Okay.
I remember. But, yeah.
I think it could work, actually.
Yeah. Bob and Amy are both on Twitter right now, and everybody's harassing them to call, and they won't call. And Amy's saying Bob did.
Chicken.
Yeah,
are they listening to the show? They must. I wonder if they even listen. I told her to even listen. Have they even listened?
Yeah. No, Bob said he's
reading
right now. Yeah, he said
he's
reading.
Bob
said
what?
No, I'm reading.
He says he's reading.
Oh.
He's reading Twitter.
Oh, Jan asked him.
Yeah, he's
Jan
reading.
Jan asked him, are you listening? And he
reading.
Says, no, I'm reading.
Oh, God. He's a tough nut to crack. What can we say?
I think he just likes us begging.
I think he likes begging, yeah.
Maybe we should tell him, everybody tweet to Bob, tell him not to call. Don't call, don't do it. See what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we go ahead.
Bob didn't pay the phone bill.
Yeah. That's what it said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. So, I'm starting to yawn. Uh-oh. So what, I'm trying to think, what else happened this week? I'm trying to think of that.
Oh, I wanted to mention Madison.
I
skipped over her. Yeah. I mean, I notoriously don't like Madison. This week, after she has been cowering in the corner every time Ian's in the room, and then since he enters the room with her and Kate, she's all over him. I mean, just PDA all over the place to make Kate jealous. It's like, really? You hated the guy. You're afraid of him. You know, you wouldn't even talk.
This coming week is going to be?
What? Huh? Did she do this
coming
past week? No, this past week. And this past week, she, you know, she was always, you know, when Brady found the two of them, she wouldn't even speak. She was so scared. And then she went to Kate and at the spa with
Right.
And she's all over him. Like they have this wonderful, loving marriage. She makes me sick. I mean,
I can't stand Madison. But you know. Yeah. Ugh.
Hey, Amy says she's listening. Yeah.
Okay, Amy.
She's listening.
Hi, Amy. We picked you and Bob at the beginning.
Hi, Amy.
We'll see you again, though.
I think Bob's listening, too, but she said Hoochie's are trying to
strong arm
us.
He should be so lucky.
They're both listening.
Don't mess with Hoochie's.
Try us. You'll like us.
You should know better. The power of the Hoochie is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Jack and Jen. Jack played intermediary for Abby and Jen. Do you want to talk about that part?
Abby and say that again. I was tweeting
to
Bob.
Sorry. Jack jumped in and
that.
Was intermediary. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that was a really messed up scene. That was so messed up. I mean, it was nice. I'm glad Jen and Abby made up. That's great, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the episode, Jen declares her undying love for Jack. And he actually decided beforehand he was going to just stay away from her because he keeps hurting her, blah, blah, blah. And then he lays a kiss on her, and then he runs out of the house. And it just, I mean, Jack acted like Jack, but Jennifer, I mean, it's like a totally different person. Like, where was she, where's she been the past 6 months? All of a sudden, now she loves Jack. It's mostly, it's probably because Daniel's been gone for about a month. So...
Oh, right as Daniel gets back in town, of course she professes her undying love for Jack, right?
Yeah. So, I don't understand, were the Jack and Jennifer fans supposed to enjoy that scene? Were they supposed to bond?
Yeah.
I mean, was that their big payoff? It was terrible.
It was
bad. I mean, I didn't buy it at all. I didn't buy Jennifer at all. She seemed completely fake and phony to me the entire episode.
Yeah,
the Jennifer character is getting, like, really trashed, I think.
Yeah, no. I don't think they're writing her well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if it's for the sake of letting Jack be on top for a change and her have to work for it, then I can go with that.
Yeah.
But I just didn't think it. I liked how awkward it was that he was jumping in and he was so eager to be the intermediary and help them work things out. You know, it was so cute. I liked that part. But it, you know, as far as the end, the kids. Oh, sorry, excuse me. I was like, okay, that was not really necessary. So. So there's that. So it sounds like, the Jack and Jen fans want Jen to work for it, as Jay says in the chat room. So we'll see how that goes. Who do we think that Jack will be drawn to in the meantime? Do we think Nicole? Do we think who? Do we think he's going to be kind of drawn to?
Could be Billy too.
Oh, that's right. Billy's coming back, too. That's right.
Jack and Nicole would be interesting, I think. I'd rather see them than Jack, Daniel and Nicole.
Yeah.
I feel like Nicole's with Daniel. So I thought they put Billy and Daniel together. So, you know, that leaves...
Billy and Daniel, I could see, maybe.
So they're not going to go Jacole. They're going to go,
Dickhole. I already named
Dickhole.
Them. Yeah.
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 I said Dickie, and you came back. I said Dickie, and then she came back with Dickhole, and I said, oh, that's even better.
That's great, Dickhole.
Dickhole.
Oh, that's going to be like my favorite now. I love it. Oh, that's funny. So basically, she must go in for some sort of medical exam because usually Daniel has his first date on the exam room table. So So by Monday he'll be on first base. By Friday, let's see. Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. So. I don't know. They're probably going to piss off a bunch of people because some people are going to want Jack and Jen together, although the way they're writing Jen, people don't. But then A lot of people wanted to see Nicole and Jack together in the meantime until mm-hmm. Jen worked hard enough. And then a lot of people, or some people, even liked Jennifer and Daniel together. So it's going to be an interesting chance to see how the fans respond to this whole deal. I'm trying to figure out why Daniel's coming back, really. I don't know. No offense mm-hmm. to the actor, but I really didn't miss the character.
No.
No,
the only
scenes
I really like him in are the scenes with Melanie as her dad. I like those scenes, but other than that, not really. But
he really doesn't serve a purpose on the show. Just, you know, if he's out of Jennifer's orbit, and then there's only his daughter to deal with, why do you really need him? He's not really integral in any of the storylines right now. He's not involved in anything, so what's the point? Oh, well, he's back. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think what they're doing is rotating back to the hospital set coming up. So I'm wondering, like, I know Camilla Bamis is still working because she's in the makeup room sometimes, but they tweet about it. But I wonder, because Gabby's been MIA, Bren has showed up a few times, Quinn has showed up a few times, but we know he's out. I'm just kind of wondering, like, what's going on, you know, like, are they going to flip the intensity spa set to the hospital set then, or?
I don't know.
Because I know that they had a picture of Beau in a hospital bed, you know, a while back. I mean, it was like everybody was just standing around, like, next to him and all, like, in their, it didn't look like he was even in his hospital, you know, gown or anything, but it looked like he was in there for some reason. So I don't know. I guess we're going to start seeing people in hospital beds all the time again, especially if they're bringing back Lexi's. Isn't Lexi's brother going to be a doctor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of hoping that would be a love interest for her. But sounds like, and then the whole Lexi and Abe. Lexi left Abe.
Mm-hmm.
There's all that going on because she realized that he fixed the debate, and he fixed the debate. She realized that, and then she thought he also fixed the election, which he didn't have anything to do with that, but she's not really buying it. So they had some scenes where they were breaking up, and she was packing up to leave or whatever. Were they in a hotel room, or was that the first time we've ever seen Abe and Lexi's bedroom?
I was just thinking of that, too. I can't remember last time we saw Ava and Lexi's bedroom.
It's been a while.
And they have the nicest bedroom about everybody. That's a nice room.
Yeah, and so I couldn't figure out if that was her bedroom and she was packing up to leave, or if I missed part of the episode. I thought, well, or is she unpacking at a hotel room and he tracked her down? But it's probably their bedroom.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was their bedroom. Yeah. I don't know.
So she was packing up.
Because they weren't out of town. Yeah.
Right. Well, but I thought maybe she had gone to a hotel to get away from him or something. I wasn't sure. Because we never seen
oh,
I hadn't seen
okay.
the bedroom before. So I was mm-hmm. like, okay, so look, I think she's packing up. But so we'll see. Jennifer, a.k.a. Rex, in the chat room said that Abe and Lexi's room house used to be Roman's. I remember that from back in the day. I do remember that.
Yeah,
that
I remember
bedroom,
back
I
then.
I hadn't seen that bedroom. I don't think, since I returned to watching the show in 2006, I'm not sure I had seen their bedroom once, unless I missed the episode or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. But, of course, we haven't seen Beau and Hope's house in months either.
So they are bringing that back, though.
They're always at Jennifer or at the Horton House.
Getting back to Alamania for a minute, Angela tweeted, she said, a friend and I are putting 25 cents each in the jar every time they say Alamania. We should be taking a big vacay soon. So there, another Alamania, she could put another 25 cents in. Yeah. So
tweet Angela to call in and tell us what she thought of the jammy
she's on Twitter.
I don't know if she's listening.
I think she's listening.
She must be listening, okay. Yeah, because she just tweeted that to me about Alamania.
Let us know what you thought of the Jammy blow-up. I guess I should be on the screen where I can see people calling in. I'm always entertained by the chat room, so you can't have both up at the same time. So I'm like, oh, I'm like reading the chat room. Like, I guess I should go over and look at the phone call. Let's see. So what I'm wondering is Lexi going to go back to the evil Demira Lexi, or is she going to?
Oh, Demira Lexi. I'd like to see Demira Lexi again.
Yeah, Alexandra. Yeah, the spoiler is EJ offers her a job, but I don't know what it is. But the thing, who does she have to be evil against? Was she going to turn evil against Jennifer for revenge? I mean, yeah, we turn
evil.
Maybe
she'll be mad at her mother for hiding another sibling or something. Like,
I don't know.
Okay, well, Sarah wanted to talk. I think there were some magic moments, so I'll bring her in. She's been on hold for a while.
Oh, yeah, there
Hello,
were.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
So, how'd you like those magic scenes?
I like them, but I bet you already knew that.
So, what did you want to say tonight?
I'm trying to think. What was I going to say? I think it's interesting that every time Ian goes over there, he's like talking to Maggie like that.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Flirting.
Yeah, he's flirting with her. That's kind of funny, I think. Ian's really a pretty funny character. He's got that quirky sense of humor. He likes to stick it to people. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, take last week when Victor's like, I knew when I saw that walking cane there was something off. I knew we were in trouble.
Well, I think that would be the first clue. Usually it's walking canes and chest bits.
But they had some, would you like care to elaborate on, didn't they have a couple of sweet scenes, Victor and Maggie?
Yeah. I mean, she was still mad about what happened the previous week about, you know, him saying that maybe it was her fault because he was married to her and he was distracted. But then they made up and that was so cute.
Yes, it was. They still have the magic, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Aww. She threatened him with sleeping on the couch, but I guess he never did. Then they made up.
Oh.
That was, yeah. No, that was cute.
Yes, it was.
Good. So we got some magic this week. That was good.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, did you have anything else you want to share? Or was that?
I think that was it.
That's it? Okay. Well, thank you for being willing to share. We always like to get those magic moments in when we can. All right. Well, I'll put you back in just to listen then, okay?
All right.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, then we'll bring Angela on. I think this is Angela. Oops, it's not working. Hi, is this Angela?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
You answered the call. What did you think of the jammy scenes at the end of the week?
Well, I will say, first of all, as far as Thursday and Friday were two of the better episodes I've seen this year of the show, period.
Yeah, they really were.
So, as far as the writing and things coming together, I thought that was quite good. And neither episode was attributed to the Cubletons, which is also interesting. I'm always looking for
them.
Yeah,
they haven't been writing
it. It was like Lacey Dyer, who is the younger girl, I guess, that was an intern last year from Emerson College. I don't know. I wonder if she's sort of focusing on the Will story. But in any event, she was credited, I think, on Friday's episode. But I agree with what you guys are saying. You know, it's just that, I guess to put it nicely, Galen Garen's a low-key approach Mm-hmm. Just kind of overwhelming. You know, somebody, I read this week, I don't know, because it's not original with me at all, but, you know, thinking back to all that has happened to him, you know, they've held him as prisoner in the Demira Mansion. They have, you know, developed a clone who then was married to his wife, and all the, you know, unbelievably horrible things that have been done to him. You would think if he couldn't work up the fierceness out of that.
Yeah.
It's never coming. I mean,
yeah. Well, I remember last year he was describing how, I think it was a year and a half ago maybe now, a long time ago, and he was describing these scenes that he was going to have to do, and they were going to be really, really dramatic and emotional and all, and so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to tune in for this because I want to see it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, that was it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think
I mean,
he was
not to
more...
be mean. I mean, I'm not trying to beat up on the actor. I mean, I know there are some Ray fans, and some of them last, some of the last
there are
those who may be listening.
Well,
but...
I think there probably are some Safe fans, and there are some Ray fans. I'm not sure how many are on this particular broadcast, but I think the benefit of you know, I guess to Galen's credit, I will say this, is that I think that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, months ago, whenever it was, when they did the and as preposterous as those scenes were with Carrie, and those were absolutely silly and embarrassing to a certain extent, the whole, you know, the air conditioning's not working, gosh, what do we do, comedy. But, you know, and even he seemed more intense in that scene, and I seemed to like him better there. And I think that's what, Anna, what you were saying. Yeah, you liked him better with her. But, you know, as a, you know, since they have separated that out and kind of segregated him a little bit from Carrie, and seeing these two scenes, Thursday and Friday, somebody asked me, you know, at the end of the day, maybe it was the end of the day, Thursday, and I said, you know, at this point, I don't care. He can just leave the show. I don't even care anymore. I, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I saw him with Carrie, and I thought, yeah, that wouldn't be so bad. Now I'm thinking they need to reunite Austin and Carrie and have them go back to Zurich eventually and just be done with it. Because I'm fickle, but I just feel like that, you know, he just doesn't bring it, or if that's his style. Like what you saw said, and I really had not thought about it this way till you said it a few minutes ago, it brought down the whole group on Friday, you know, because, frankly, I've been waiting since November, whatever it was, 18th, 21st, whatever, for the big aftermath, the big blow-up, you know, and just like what Marianne was saying, you know, didn't you expect that they would be in Horton Town Square or, you know, something like back when, remember when Sammy had the video of EJ and Kate years ago?
Kate,
and they had
yes, I remember that.
Without that video.
In front of all the journalists.
You'd almost expect that's what they would have done, you know, right before the election or something. You know, something. And they didn't go that direction for whatever reason. But, I mean, I personally, seriously, have been waiting now since November to see the aftermath, but waiting. And it is kind of a little bit of a letdown, although I will say that I think that, you know, and this shows maybe the dullness of my weekend, but I actually watched this afternoon the episode again on my DVR without the sound. We had a weather alert on Friday, so a portion of the episode was, you know, broadcast with tornado warning, so I couldn't see the whole thing as one thing. As I watched it without the sound on it, and, you know, and I thought, yeah, there were still those glances and eye rolls and some of that, and Diggy Jane, I don't know if any of y'all follow her, Lamentry Jane, you know, her blog, and I know we just retweeted it. She posted something just a little while ago about the episode from Friday, which is hysterical, and it talks about the look, and it's true because they really did. Even though they continue to say, you know, we don't love each other, we hate each other, we detest each other, you know, you can just see that wasn't really the case, and I loved, absolutely loved.
Fine line between love and hate. You know,
well, exactly. But, you know, but still, you know, you can just, you know, why wouldn't you just walk away? Why would you not? Why would you sit there and you know, he grabbed her arm before she left and everything. So, I felt like, I guess it still left me hope that there really is, you know, potentially going to be a, that reunion of sorts with those two. I mean, it's never going to be a, you know, White Knight story, I guess, you know, Cinderella White Knight story. But anyway, I thought it was, I still, there was a lot of good to it. I was glad to at least see that it was addressed again, finally. At least we got something. But what I don't want to have happen, and this is the thing that I'll be watching closely over the next couple of weeks, is, you know, let's not finish up sweeps and then just have filler until May. You know, I feel like that's one of the things that they did.
From what I've heard, there's a lot that goes on between now and May.
Good. Well, that's good to hear, because I think that will keep people more engaged, because you can't. And you know, I've watched General Hospital. I've watched Days my whole life, but I've watched General Hospital on and off since the 80s. And you know, y'all talked about this. I think it was last week or week before last. I don't think it was when I had called in, but you know, they're really, really, you know, Ron Calavati and those guys have really come in all guns a-blazing on General Hospital. And I think they're really going to kind of, you know, really, they're really fighting for their place.
Yeah.
And so,
well, I hope
you know,
so, because they have a sucky lead-in to General Hospital now.
Whew. Oh, my land. Oh. I really think that show will be canceled. I really never.
They're having to pay people to come and sit in the audience. Unless they start paying people to watch at home, I don't think anyone's going to be watching.
You know, it's really sad. It's called The Revolution, and I've never seen it. I've never seen The Chew. I don't, you know, either one of the programs. But I, you know, halfway joking, I read a couple of times about The Revolution before it aired, and it was called people kept referring to it as The Revulsion. And the other day, that's exactly what I said to somebody. Then at the same time, The Revulsion comes on, they were just looking at me. So, anyway,
I tuned in a couple of times, like for maybe 2 minutes. I've only managed to take it for like 2 minutes at a time. Like, I've just caught it a few times, and like, I'm just like, the timing's off, the beat is off, the chemistry between the key people on the show is off. It's just awkward. And I mean, I guess on paper it sounded like a good idea, but maybe to some people, I don't know. But I really could only bear to watch a few minutes of it. I tried three different times, because one time Jewel was on, I saw a few minutes of her interview. Another time, a couple other times, I tuned in, and all three times I was like, this does not make me want to still watch, to keep watching.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Well, fairly,
and
nobody's
so
watching
not
it.
Only
I
does,
mean,
not only does has General Hospital been struggling anyway, but then to lose that strong lead in with other soap fans that would continue to watch, you know, another hour, it's like, ugh, I don't know.
Well, I think it's
And
important.
I'm sure the only reason that Chew's doing well at all, if they are, I don't know, there for a while they were doing really bad, and then I think the Chew's ratings improved a little bit. I think it's just because The View is their lead in. But by the time you get to The Revulsion, you know, everybody's tuned out.
It's sad, you know, in Atlanta, the lead-in for Days is usually either one of the syndicated. They have the 12 o'clock, they've got news. 12:30, we have a syndicated spot, but it's generally like Jeopardy, or sometimes it's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, one of those game shows, I think. Which you know, is not a great lead-in, but, you know, I've been down the coast of South Carolina for a little while in December and January, and the lead-in here literally are infomercials. I mean, they don't even have local news or anything. I mean, they're selling, you know, corsets or whatever for 30 minutes. So it's really, I mean, so, you know, you think, too, that, you know, and to look at the, you know, so there's lead-ins and there are lead-ins. I mean, you know, if Days can hold its own and they're getting a lead-in of, of an infomercial, then, you know, more power to them. But I think it's really sad on ABC. You know, they've screwed things up. You know, and there are lots of folks with lots of different opinions of what will happen. I did read last week, and again, I don't know 100% if it's hearsay or it's actual fact, but it sounds like Katie Couric is concerned about her lead-in. Because, you know, she doesn't want to have The Revulsion lead-in when she comes up. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of discussion, too, which is what I had hoped in the beginning, is that maybe the ABC will, you know, may either move General Hospital to 2 and, you know, then let if Katie's going to get that, they're going to make that 3 o'clock, you know, time slot a syndicated spot, and Katie Couric is going to fit in there, then,
you
know, maybe do that.
Who even wants to see Katie Couric? I know this is off topic, but who even wants to see her anymore? I don't know.
I don't know.
She was on the Today Show, but I can't stand her now.
There's so many of these things, too. You just read all the time on Twitter. I've got, I think it's like the Hollywood Reporter, one of those, at a Deadline, one of those, where they're constantly telling you who's gotten a new pilot or who's gotten a go-ahead. And, I mean, there's a gazillion of these talk shows, and I'm thinking, who's watching this stuff? You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's already so many, and people aren't watching the ones that are out there. So, you know, who's going to watch them? I still think when Larry King retired off of CNN, I thought that would have been an ideal spot for Katie Couric to go in there, you know, in the evening back on CNN. And have some type of, you know, similar Larry King show. That, I think, would have been a good spot for her. I can't imagine. But, you know, maybe it will be different. Who knows? But they've spent, you think about the money they've spent. That's what's so disgusting is the, you know, tens of millions of dollars are spending marketing. And even, the Revulsion or the Chew or whatever, they have the money they've spent on marketing and publicizing them, and they have done nothing for those ABC soaps. And, you know, that's a sad thing. I will give credit to NBC, Universal, Comcast, whatever you want to call them. You know, they've actually been running some spots, not necessarily great spots, but they have been running some promos 4 days in prime time.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to at least say, you know, they're trying to do some things. And I had a quick question for y'all on SoapNet. Do any of y'all watch SoapNet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally.
Yeah,
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
going on March
22nd. Yeah, and but then I read that they may postpone it until April the 18th. And I'm wondering why we don't hear more from, say, Days, for example, because that's a huge revenue stream for him. And, yeah, they're earning money
by
hearing
Days.
I'm sorry,
I didn't hear that part. Okay. You wonder why what?
I'm wondering why we're not hearing anything from Days as far as that goes, because, you know, they're going to lose a huge revenue stream.
Sure.
When SoapNet goes off, because they're making a lot of money off of that. So, I'm curious to see if either Comcast and, what's his name, Greenblatt, who's the new head of Comcast, if they're planning to maybe do something with some of the soaps. Yeah, they are doing a lot. You know, they fired a significant number of their marketing PR people are laid people off about 2 weeks ago. I know the girl Katie, who does the promos today, is laid off. And
but
they were running. And so they're starting to cross run. Like they took the show The Smash and ran it, you know, repeats on Bravo. So maybe they'll start doing more of that because I want
that
would increase.
It would be nice if they played Days on Bravo. That would be cool. Because Bravo acts like they don't even know Days of Our Lives exists.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
I think it would be, too. I think it'd be great. Or have Sony, you know, years ago, and again, I didn't know about it at the time. This is just something I've read recently, that Sony really had spent a good bit of time. Michael Fairman, who has, you know, a great website and does a lot of interviews with the soap. Crowd. He was on board, you know, when they were developing both an online website, which it was, I guess, at one point was the origins of part of the Sony board, was at one point a part of this, because they had actually launched it called Soap City, and then they were working on a cable channel. And so ABC Disney decided that they wanted to kind of get into that competition, and they outbid Sony and Soap City to create a soap channel. So you have to kind of wonder if Sony, you know, obviously they went through a tremendous amount of work a couple of years ago to create such a thing. I mean, and, you know, how difficult could it be at this point? I mean, you know, like I said, there's so much out there, and it's, you know, it's encouraging to see that these P&G people, and again, I don't know how any of this works legally, but some of the P&G shows like As the World Turns and Guiding Light, some of those programs, you know, they're releasing all these videos of key episodes, and evidently it's selling pretty well. And so, you know, it might be. CBS just got a new daytime programming VP. So, like I said, I would hope to see something happen where they would still be running the soaps, because I think a lot of folks do watch some of it. I mean, I have a DVR. I can I DVR the show. But, you know, the weekends, if you're cleaning or I'm cleaning or doing something around here, I might just have it on. And back when One Life to Live or, you know, was on, I never have really watched All My Children. But that's not something I would watch during the week. But, you know, I would kind of catch part of it while I was doing other things in the house to the where at least I knew kind of what was going on. And so that's a lot to lose. But, you know, from the perspective of what I'm sure.
Plus sometimes there's, like you said, there were tornado warnings and all on your local NBC, you know, during the show. You know, sometimes it gets preempted and stuff. And so, you know, I mean, of course, we can always watch it online, too. But it's nice to be able to turn on SoapNet at night and have it on, and, you know, it's just kind of fun to have that.
I know, and it'll be gone soon, you know, unless they have some other option. And I think it helps General Hospital, too, because, you know, for folks that were not watching General Hospital, which, you know, GH has been pretty hellacious in the last, well, really the last couple of years, but especially in the last 18 months or so, and after Bob Guza was fired, it really got even worse than anything. So, you know, if people trying to get caught up and trying to watch it now, because they desperately need folks to tune in. And I, you know, like I said, I will say this, as I, you know, because I've watched the show on and off for decades, and I think it's a good program. And they've got some fantastic actors. They really, really do. And you know, Frank Carlovati and those guys are really trying, and so I hope that just as we want Days to survive and flourish, you know, want to see all those four that are still left.
Well, and one of
you know,
the other benefits to having the shows from different networks on the same network is that, like, I know because at various times Days has been, I've either tuned in early on SoapNet and I've seen the end of General Hospital or the beginning of Young and the Restless or whatever, you know, like the end of Days and it goes into Young and the Restless. It, in a way, even though I don't, like, regularly watch any of the other shows anymore, I used to watch General Hospital. I used to watch Y&R, and I catch Y&R when Victor and Nikki are on, so I like them. But it kind of kept me, like, with one foot in the door to kind of go, oh, I remember so-and-so, or, oh, so-and-so's back on that show. That's cool, you know. And so, in a way, it's good marketing to pull people back in, you know, and where otherwise, you know, the only time, I mean, I hardly ever have, the only time I have CBS on my screen is usually Amazing Race and Survivor these days, you know, other than Y&R, if I happen to catch that. But you know, it's nice on SoapNet, you know, you go, oh, wait, Y&R's next, or, you know, whatever. So I think it's kind of good to – I think it's nice to have a channel that or a network that has all those different shows on it, you know. So I don't know.
It's a plus for, you know, scripted serial television, you know, where, you know, you're not dealing with, you know, The Chew or some other talk show, which is not truly a, you know, truly a scripted, you know, drama. And because there's plenty of things on primetime that, you know, would constitute itself as a soap opera. And I am a huge fan of Downton Abbey, and I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow because season two ended last Sunday, so I can't watch it tomorrow night.
I've heard it's very soapy, and it shows you that soaps are still viable. It's just the writing has to be good. People will follow the writing. People will follow the acting. The problem is that I think daytime maybe has had some issues with really – I don't know I don't know what it is, but because, you know, Days has some days when the writing is really great. Our actors are almost always good. You know, they're almost always on point, most of them anyway. But the writing is up and down, I think. But, you know, when doing this Downton Abbey, so many people have caught on to this thing. You know, it's like really, really popular. And last year when they had the royal wedding, you know, so many millions and millions of people tuned into that. And I'm like, romance and chivalry and the rich and the poor and those of soapy dynamics are not dead, you know. But it's just finding ways to capture that those audiences again. And somebody just, Tasha Fabulous in the chat room, just posted something about Dallas, Sunset, Santa Barbara, mm-hmm. or whatever. And Dallas is coming back this summer on, I think,
PBS,
one of the country stations, yeah. And I know a lot of people that are excited about that. So, you know, I think I still believe in the genre. I think most of us do. I just hope that we don't lose our final four soaps, you know. It's like,
It would be a shame. Yeah, that I don't know if anybody talked about the New York Times article last Sunday.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it, but
That was a real plus too to see that, and Taffy Akers, I think is her name, was the lady that wrote the article, and the pictures were really interesting then too. The people that did the photos, shots from the sets. Because I just happened to, you know, take a look at it, and I thought, yeah, it's an unusual name, and I looked it up, and she also has written, you know, some other interesting articles, some that were entertainment-oriented, and the guy that did some of the photography and everything, it was really interesting, too, the guy that did it, because he's not a typical, you know, JPI-type photographer that they send out to any old studio. This guy does a lot of stuff that's, you know, photo essays on bullying and gangs and musicians and different types of interesting artists and so forth. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting that there are that many diverse people that are out there that are willing to get engaged to, you know, put together an article to highlight it. Thought it was nice that James Scott got quoted on it, and so did Deidre Hall, and it seemed to be a big focus on, you know, from a day's perspective, even though some of the things that Greg Ming was quoted as saying that they didn't want to do on days are exactly the things that they are doing.
They're doing it. You mean like overhearing things, lurking around corners and hiding behind plants? Yeah, we're not doing that anymore, right? Uh-huh.
Well, Sammy, was it Friday's episode or Thursday's? And again, I'm just praising the episode, but Sammy's there, and I think in the loft or whatever, or somewhere, and then she's basically talking to herself. You know, she's just standing there staring into space, and you can hear her voice go back asking herself such and such. And I just thought, you know, please don't do that. That's the worst cliche for a show. But there are, like I said, back on what we're saying, we do want the genre to continue. And I think that why ever daytime has gotten such a bad reputation, there's a lot that's out there that really is in the same category. Downton Abbey has made, I mean, last Sunday's final episode, 5.4 million. The Sunday before was 6.4 million. So again, yeah, obviously these are short run series. As they're, you know, an hour to 2 hour episodes, and they're only running, you know, for a couple of weeks, and then now, you know, we'll be lost for another half a year or more before another one comes on. But yeah, these are great programs. Whether they're costumes, you know, period pieces from pre-World War I, or they're, you know, right now, there's such a market for it, and it's sad if we lose them.
And you can't say Dave doesn't try to do a period piece, because, I mean, I think Rafe is stuck in the Paleolithic period, maybe? I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure he's in there somewhere. That was for Bob, in case he's still watching. or listening, I should say.
Well,
I'm going to get some crap on Twitter.
We appreciate you inviting me, especially inviting me. So I'll let you guys go. You take care and have a good week.
Okay, thanks, Angela.
Thanks for calling. Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, before it gets too late, since Bob and Amy are wishing out.
We're
calling Katie Couric on Twitter. Amy wanted to know what we're insulting Katie Couric on Twitter. If he, he had an auto-correcting spelling error, and he tweeted the word crunt, C-R-U-N-T.
I'm sorry, I can't understand that. What? He did what?
Bob tweeted that Katie Couric was a crunt.
Bob doesn't know how to spell, does he?
No, it was an auto-correcting spelling, and that's how. the author
I'm sure,
of
I'm sure it
came
was.
Up with.
I'm sure with Bob
mm-hmm.
that was a total accident.
mm-hmm.
Anyway, Sydney wanted to know what we thought of Will and EJ. Eventually
coming
together. But
Will
and EJ being the next super couple on the
William.
Show.
I said that, yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed
I like them.
With them. I thought they were great, but not as a romantic pairing.
You know, yeah, EJ was roughing them up a little
head.
Bit. You know,
Sammy's head would explode.
That would,
it would
be
fantastic.
Say, that would be just for Sammy going crazy over it, yeah.
That would be
EJ, he's flirting with him.
Yeah.
So.
But I don't know. EJ and Lucas was always the thing back in the day, you know. That was always.
Geez. Well, you know that time that didn't Lucas have to give EJ mouth to mouth one time?
Yes.
EJ got the Lucas, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so one of them, that's right. One of them had to give the other one something.
Yeah.
That was funny. But no, I liked the EJ and Will dynamic. I thought that was fun to watch. Really enjoyed how they played off of each other, but I wouldn't want them kissing, I don't think. But that would be funny. I mean, that would really torque Sammy's mind to see something like that. Oh, yeah. But no, I.
Payback.
But, So I guess we kind of all, are we all in agreement that Days is actually seeming to be more entertaining right now? I mean, it's got some good, inspiring.
I don't fast forward hardly at all anymore.
I know. You know what? I find myself rewinding more than fast forwarding, so I can.
Yes, I've done that already. Yeah, to catch some stuff that I thought did I hear that
rewatch.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I might have watched the Kate and Ian kissing several dozen times, but you know that's just me. But if I'm going to pimp, I might as well pimp at Kian fans. That's K-I-A-N for Kate and Ian. So at Kian fans, if you like that pairing, we're enjoying talking about them and all that. So follow that on Twitter, and we might see you there. And
did you guys know Lauren? Didn't she have a Twitter thing last night?
Yeah.
I forgot all
about
it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we had
that.
Go? Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Oh, Carrie, you'll appreciate this one since you're such a big Pat Muldoon fan. I asked Lauren on one of my tweets, I said, because she always looks so good, and I just thought, okay, what do you take, like, I'm curious, like, I'm sure that she's not eating the cafeteria food at the commissary, you know, so I was like, so what kind of snacks and, like, what do you take for your lunch, you know what I mean, like, what do you eat when you're there, you know, and she, whether jokingly or not, she's like, I never eat anything there. I never eat anything at the studio or ask anyone or something like that. Like anyone will vouch for her. So I tweeted to Patrick Muldoon and included her in the tweet. And I said, so Patrick, please tell me, you know, Lauren just got done saying that she never eats anything at the studio. Please tell me you have a picture of her holding a Twinkie or something like that. But he never responded, though, so I don't know.
Aww.
But, he didn't play along. But, we had fun. We played, we tweeted for about an hour, and lots of people participated. It was a lot of fun. It was great to see all these fans coming out and talking to Lauren. And Lauren's really funny. Somebody asked, well, I wonder how Kate's going to – hopefully Kate will react positively to Will, and she's like, well, stay tuned, it's coming up, and somebody said, so what would you do, like, you know, we see how Marlena's reacted, you know, being his little therapist, you know, being the grandma therapist, how do you think Kate would react, and she says, she'd hook him up with a hot boyfriend, or a hot guy, all right, Kate, that was funny, love her, she's so funny, so, you know, we had a lot of fun, so, I'm sure that's all still on Twitter, so you can go, if you want to go back and read what we did last night, go back and read Lauren's tweet. She said, if you tweet succinct tweets, I'll retweet and answer the question in the same tweet so that you can see both the question and the answer. So you might be able to follow along if you just look at her tweets, but it was a lot of fun. She's always a great sport and always a lot of fun. So, yeah, so thanks for mentioning that. We had a good time. So is that it, folks? I can't think of anything else. I think we covered everything.
Yeah, we're covering a lot of really disgusting female anatomy nicknames on Twitter right now. Don't go on
maybe,
Twitter right now.
Yeah, I'm really not wanting to at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Marianne and Carrie. And,
okay, welcome.
Again, well wishes to Madeline and her family as they deal with the loss of their loved one. And great seeing all you guys in the chat room. Make it interesting and fun for us. And we love getting your input. And thanks for Angela and Sarah calling in. And so I guess till next week or until we have a interview announced, I guess we'll see you next Saturday.
Yeah, happy early birthday, Bob. Have a great time next week. Yeah, Bob's birthday is next week. And I got invited to the party. Yeah, I got invited.
What date? He better invite Cozy Hooch or I'm going to be hurt.
Jeez, yeah. How about Mama Hooch, too?
What day is his birthday on?
I don't know, but the party's next Saturday. And I'll be wearing cream cheese frosting with candles.
Oh, dear. Sounds like a party. All right. Well, take care, guys. Till next week.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.